أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters who have joined us today in person and those of you who are watching us online. Inshallah, today to start off our third and final program for this year's Arba'in program, also following the same theme of timeless truth, we would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Abbas for some recitation from the Holy Quran, directly followed by some poetry by brother Hassan Salami. Please help him. Help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم ولا يحزنك قولهم إن العزة العزه لله جميعا ان العزه لله جميعا هو السميع العليم صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
They asked me how a sun could simultaneously be the moon. So I answered, look to Abbas, and you will see no contradiction between the two. The sun of the first moon and 12 lunar cycles, the sun of the first of Muhammad's 12 disciples, the sun of the first one who stood beside him to destroy the idols, the sun of the one whose two speared swords split the enemies of his Lord in every war, from Badr to Hunayn, whose light descended through his veins to give birth to a lion, descended from his mane to continue destroying the idols on Karbala's plains. As he stood there, it was like Ali a second time had came to stand by Muhammad, who was embodied in Hussein. For this was Karbala. So when they fought Hussein, know they waged war on Muhammad. When they struck Abbas, know that it was Ali they dismembered, and yet some still debate who were the members of the cloak. When in the Mubahala, the Quran clearly spoke, saying, Ali is my nafs, the soul beneath my throat. Did you not hear, O people, when sounds reverberated from it, as I would quote, whoever I am their master, Ali is their master. And that Hassan and Hussein are masters of the youth in the hereafter, and that Hussein is from me, and I am from him. These claims are not based on whims to care for the Prophet's nearest kin. And the verse 42:23 of the Quran, these are none other than God's commands. Yet I remind you of what God stated in Surah Al-Insan, verses 5 to 11, that talk about the four guaranteed heaven who fed the poor while fasting for 3 days, none other than Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein. And how to you, Ya Muhammad, will your ummah explain how Ali they betrayed and brought him so much pain? Will they not be ashamed to know that what happened in Saqifah created the Karbala of Hussein? O Muhammad, what did they do after you, you ask? Remember when they planned to attack you before the Hijra's night and your moon set overhead, waiting in your bed, in your stead, with his sword, God's enemies to hell he would send and rise to protect you and Islam time and time again? Well, I'm afraid to say, my Prophet, that in Karbala, when the moon to protect Hussein would descend, he would not rise again. Why couldn't he? Tell him, my Prophet, to stand, Ya Abbas, stand. Ask him why he can't use his hands to pick himself up. Ask him why from his face he does not wipe his blood. Eventually, he would rise, O my Prophet. Do not fear. When they shoved his severed head upon a metal spear and raised it to the heavens. But don't grieve, O my Prophet Muhammad. Can't you see? Your son, the Qamar of your Banu Hashim, is free. In the heavens, a beaming light, and every night he is a witness of the Karbalas of today. O moon, you witness the oppression in every country, continent, and land. O son of Ali, who would bear the banner of truth before it fell from your severed hands, the 12th Imam awaits the world to abandon false rulers and re-raise your flag from America to Afghanistan, from Palestine to Pakistan, from Ferguson to Kenosha, across every continent, surrounded by every ocean. Do the oppressors not know that the moon's gravity controls the water's motion, and that the message of Abbas and Hussein, like the moon and the stars, Bayn al-Haramain, will create a tidal wave made of us that will drown the pharaohs of today like the pharaoh of Moses? Let them know that the waves are coming, Soon, when the sons and daughters of the moon change the tide to end the global dominance of the people of crime, but God never punishes his creations before he sends them warnings and signs as he is sending us now before the 12th sunrise. Just as he sent them to the people in the past, Ya Abbas, God warned this ummah to not cause Karbala. He sent them proof. When the Prophet split the moon in two, it was as if he was showing his ummah what they would do to you, to his sun, to his moon. When they split the moon into two, they asked me how a sun could simultaneously be the moon. Look to Abbas, and you will find no contradiction between the two, between the two.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I'd like to thank our dear brothers for both reciting Quran and for that wonderful poetry. In addition, I would like to thank all the volunteers, those behind the scenes, our dear Sheikh Osama, our brother Ali Abu Khadir, for the wonderful efforts and all of that they have done through this night. So please help me recite a loud salawat for all their efforts. Allah. Just a few announcements before we start. Inshallah, first, we would like to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the marhumin of all the sponsors. If you could please help me do that. Ba'd salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Additionally, we'd like to just remind everybody to help us avoid any health risks. We are trying to avoid using the restrooms. If it is an emergency, please see one of the volunteers in the back to help direct you to the bathrooms on the other side of the building. We ask you to all, inshallah, please try to follow the social distancing put in place and also to wear your masks throughout the program. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The nights and the days will pass, but now more than ever, the message of Karbala lives on. Karbala has taught us to be resilient. Karbala has taught us to be free and to always stand up for the oppressed. As the days of Muharram and Arba'een pass, let us use these lessons we learn to let everyone know through our actions that we are the sons of Hussein, we are the daughters of Zainab, and their teachings will forever live on. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Without further ado, please help me welcome Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, tonight is the last night where we're going to be learning directly from Imam Sajjad. And alhamdulillah, Allah gave us two nights. We were able to benefit, learn lessons from him, from his struggle. And inshallah, tonight is the last night, so we want to make the most of tonight. But before I do that, I definitely want to thank the brothers and the sisters behind the scenes who make this possible. Without them, definitely we couldn't do this. And then, of course, our community. Without the community, without the help of the believers, then this Islamic effort wouldn't go forward. When Allah speaks to the Prophet in the Quran, He says this, هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين. God is the one who provided you with assistance, ta'yid, support, with divine help and with the believers. So جزاكم الله خيراً, and may Allah bless and accept this effort from all of us. Now, what we want to learn about tonight, inshallah, is the lesson of hope from the Imam, from Imam Sajjad. And we want to use that lesson in such a way that we can apply it in our personal lives, in our social lives, our political lives. We all need this important lesson of hope. And we want to see where we can get this from the Imam. Right now, we're discussing that first year, perhaps, or the 40 days, depends on the understanding that we get from the ahadith, of that first part of the long qiyam of Imam Zainul Abidin. This first chapter, what we call the captivity chapter, is very interesting, very different, and of course that was the beginning of the rest of the work of the Imam. The stories or the lessons that we can get from Imam Sajjad Salamullahi Alayhi are not limited to this. We're just now, and this time, we're trying to discuss this. So brothers and sisters, what you've heard in majalis before is that when the Imam was asked, what was the most difficult part of this time of captivity, this difficult part that we're talking about, that first year or 6 months, three times the Imam said, Asham, Asham, Asham. When I was forced to enter into the palace of Yazid in that undignified way with the family of the Prophet, after all of those, losing all of those people, to see his father's head disrespected like that, the atrocities against God that Yazid was doing, this was extremely, extremely difficult for the Imam. Yet, for you and I, when we read this story, when we learn about this story, it's from this that we get hope. Remember, at this time where outwardly the Imam is at his weakest, if you looked, how vulnerable is the Imam at this stage? Yazid and his team, they think, we hold all the cards, we're making it happen, nobody can do anything. They feel like they have the Ahlul Bayt pinned down and cornered. But yet, here is where we see Imam Sajjad is like a lion. He is brave, ferocious. Not only that, they raise so much noise. Sayyidah Zainab, Imam Sajjad, raised so much hell, created so much havoc for Yazid in this brief period of time that from now on, Yazid was afraid of them. They thought they had Imam Sajjad pinned. We have him vulnerable. He doesn't have any support. We've broken the community. We've done things others couldn't think about. Yazid saying, I got revenge for my forefathers. What they couldn't do in Uhud and Badr, I did. Now Ahlul Bayt, done. And at this stage, we see that no, the person who actually had them where he wanted them is Imam Sajjad. How? Let's look a little bit at what we've seen from history. So, Yazid, because they spoke out, this is a lesson for all of us, never fear speaking the truth. Don't let the outward power of the enemy intimidate you so much, you won't speak your words of truth. The way Rasulullah taught us is this, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ حَقٍّ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ. You talk to the Yazid. You don't get intimidated. Yazid holds all the cards. No, God holds all the cards. So what happened was, after they did that, there was so much havoc inside Syria and every place that the Ahlul Bayt were presented. Because remember, Imam Sajjad in Medina, what does he do? In the bazaar of Kufa, what does he do? In Syria, what does he do? They're trying to parade the Ahlul Bayt. They've made the mistake of giving the Ahlul Bayt a platform. And now an Imam is going to work with Allah supporting him. The result is the enemy is terrified now of Imam Sajjad. They were forced, not because they had respect for the Prophet's family, they were forced to send the Ahlul Bayt home with full respect. Yazid hates them. What price did you pay? They send them with full respect. I mentioned yesterday how they went later and they razed Medina. The people of Medina, they did Qiyam, they rose up, they attacked, they fought back against Yazid. Yazid went over there and they razed Medina. But don't you know that commander, his name was Muslim, but they used to call him Al-Musrif. He would shed so much blood, this wild man. Don't you know when he came to Medina, he had specific instructions. Don't touch Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad was so weighty in the eyes of friend and foe, he spoke out. When the people first did Qiyam and they wanted to rise up against the Umayyads because of their crimes, you know who came running to Imam Sajjad for help? Marwan. Who's Marwan? The next Khalifa. Because Yazid has a son. His son says, you know, I've had enough of that. He retires. He doesn't even want to be part of Muawiyah's team. After Marwan, Marwan is terrible. Marwan came to Imam Sajjad. The people have done Qiyam. They're throwing Bani Umayyah out of Medina. Would you allow, would it be okay if my wife and children stay with you? And the Imam graciously accepted. When they attacked Medina, the house of, I said the Prophet's mosque wasn't safe. Masjid Nabawi, that wasn't safe. You know where was safe? The residence of Imam Sajjad. There were 400 women and their families who somehow found a way to go over and get refuge in the area that Imam Sajjad was. And Imam Sajjad took care of them. The enemy didn't want to touch them. Yazid realized, I have bitten off more than I can chew. Those soldiers who came, remember the soldiers who came, we're going to get prizes for what we did to the Prophet's family. Yazid is forced to distance himself from Ubaydullah. Those soldiers are now war criminals. When you stand up for Qiyam Lillah, what does God do? This continued later, by the way. One of the most savage of the Tawaghit is the son of Marwan, Abdul Malik. This guy was legendary. This guy, the fear of Imam Sajjad is still so great. Hajjaj, you've heard the name of Hajjaj. This guy is bloodthirsty. Hajjaj writes a confidential, government officials, governor, he writes a confidential letter and he's trying to address Abdul Malik. He knows about the political aspirations of Imam Sajjad. He knows who Imam Sajjad is. He says, if you want stability, what you need to do is kill Ali ibn Hussein. Abdul Malik writes back. He's like, whatever you do, don't touch Bani Hashim. He said, I saw God took the kingdom away from the children of Abu Sufyan because of the blood of Bani Hashim. They're still afraid. They raised so much hell, so much havoc. They're terrified now. You know what Imam Sajjad did though? It's interesting. With the ilm of Imama, he knew about the letter. The letter's confidential, government officials, secret. At the same time when he writes his letter back to Hajjaj, at that time, Imam Sajjad writes a letter and dates it and sends it to him. He says that I've come to know that you wrote a letter to Hajjaj and you decided to avoid spilling the blood of Bani Hashim. He said, that's good. He was like, because of that, Allah will give you a long life. Allah will give you stability in your kingdom. Right? Just let him know. I know. When Abdul Malik gets the letter, he looks, he sees the timing of it. It's the same time I wrote the letter to Hajjaj. But the point is, for you and I, the government is now afraid of Imam Sajjad. One person resisting Sayyida Zainab, those few members of Ahlul Bayt, standing strong, doing their part, and God put Rob in the hearts of the enemy. Who's Abdul Malik? I didn't tell you. This guy, they said when he got the news that I'm going to be the Khalifa, he told the Quran. He was reading Quran. They used to read Quran sometimes, this Taghiyah. He told the Quran, this is the end between me and you. I have nothing to do to you with you. The Quran. This guy, you know what he did? He told when he became Khalifa, just so you know who, like, when I say these guys are afraid of Imam Sajjad, who's afraid of Imam Sajjad? This guy, when he became Khalifa, he's like, I'm not like Muawiyah. I'm not the lenient caliph. He said, if someone dares to do al-amr bil-ma'ruf, I will have his head cut off. One of his friends was talking to him, Abdul Malik. One of his friends was talking to him. She told him, she said, see, Amirul Mu'mineen, before you used to make Salatul Layl, before, now you drink wine. They were close, they could talk. He told her, he said, not only do I drink wine, I've also drunk blood. So this guy, Abdul Malik, is terrified of Imam Sajjad. You don't want to touch Imam Sajjad, right? That's what God did when the Imam did his Qiyam. So now our question is this. Our Imam, Imam Sajjad, because remember I said this was unprecedented. He had to fix a community that was broken. Everybody had given up. Everybody said, you can't do this. You can't resist. The Shia had left the path. The hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, this is from Imam Sadiq, he says this, اِرْتَدَّ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ الْحُسَيْنِ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَ. There were only three left who were still resisting. There were a lot of ideological Shias, people who knew Ahlul Bayt are, they knew, but to be a Shia, to follow your imam, to do what it takes. Three left. So how, hope now, how did our imam do this? To go to a community that's broken, that's been shaken. Things happen that they wouldn't have imagined would happen. Who could think that the same person who the prophet would kiss, you can take a stick. Like, how can you say on the minbar of the Prophet, there is no news from heaven? How can you burn the Kaaba down? Like, for the regular people, like, okay, well, like before, okay, Islam is a revolutionary movement, regular Shias, right? We started off, we're in Mecca, slowly we go to Medina, resistance in Medina, we establish Khilafah. Ahlul Bayt, Amirul Mu'mineen finally comes to, like we've seen, but then to go to Karbala and then these kind of results, the community is broken now. So what Imam has to do is go to a community that's lost hope. It's difficult to reawaken someone who was once revolutionary. Once upon a time, I was a person of spirituality. Once upon a time, I believed in these revolutionary principles. Once upon a time, but then now, in my mind, true Islam is a failed experiment. Anybody better than Imam Hussein? Anybody better than Abbas? That's what happened to them. True Islam is a failed experiment. Even now, you try and talk about true Islam to me. No, brother, people don't want to hear these things. How do you go back to a community that has given up hope? A community that has made a big sin. They had sinned. Don't think, brothers and sisters, that it was the job of Imam. Islam was in danger. Alal Islam, as-salam. إذ قد بليت الأمة براع مثل يزيد. If there's a leader like Yazid, Islam is finished. Imam Hussein's job was he was to go over and fix everything. No. Everybody had taklif. Each and every Shia was supposed to go over and do qiyam. Imam Hussein said the hadith of the Prophet. He told us the rule. He quoted the Prophet as saying this. So Imam Hussein quoting the Prophet. Man ra'a sultanan ja'ira. Whoever sees a tyrannical ruler, mustahillan li huramillah, who considers those things God considers sacred, this is halal for me. This person, nakithan li ahdillah, they break divine covenants, mukhalifan li sunnati rasulillah, against the sunnah of Rasulullah. This person, يَعْمَلُ فِي عِبَادِ اللَّهِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, with sin this person deals with Allah's servants. After that, what's the taklif of the Shia? ثُمَّ لَمْ يُغَيِّرْ بِقَوْلِ وَلَا فِعْلِ. What about if a Shia is indifferent? Right now there is a taghiyah, but you know, alhamdulillah, you know, business is business, you know, brother, come on, you. And if the person's indifferent, doesn't يغير. This person, بقول ولا فعل, كان حقيقا على الله أن يدخله مدخله. Wherever he was going to take Yazid, the person who's a bystander also goes with Yazid. So now this kind of a community, they made a mistake. They abandoned their imam. They knew who the imam was. How do you fix a broken community? They've given up hope. We had our chance. We should have helped Imam Hussein. We didn't. There's four principles that I want us to mention. Again, all of these are for us. And believe me, brothers and sisters, when I'm speaking from the member, it's true, maybe I raise my voice, but that's because I'm speaking from the member, not because I'm on cloud nine. I need to hear these reminders too. What did our Imam do? What can we do? Four principles that our Imam had. One of them, our imam, this is for us now, our imam believed in his ability to get the job done with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't mission impossible for our imam. With the help of God, I can do the impossible. Why? Because God has told me in Quran, لا يكلف نفسا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. God, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. The right way to say it. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. God doesn't put a burden on a soul greater than its ability. God believes I'm up to it. One. And that's very different, by the way, than Western self-confidence. You know, the Mamba mentality. You know, like the, now we're watching the finals and the chest pumping, and I can do this, and you know, Jimmy Butler, and all these other guys. Very different, the two of these. What's different about Islamic self-confidence? The ayat of Quran was, لَا يُكَلِّفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. God doesn't place a burden on me greater than I can bear. What about if I just think of myself independent of God? I've got confidence. I can do this. Without God. Look at the hadith. Imam Ali tells us about this. He says, إِيَّاكَ وَثِقَتَ بِنَفْسِكَ. Beware of trusting yourself. Independent of God. It's not that the believer says, God can't make miracles happen through me. No, that's what Imam Sajjad teaches us. I can do it with the help of Allah. I've got God with me. Why would I be intimidated? I can. Without God. إِيَّاكَ وَثِقَتَ بِالنَّفْسِكَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَكْبَرْ مَصَايِدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. That's one of the greatest tricks of shaitan. If you ever start thinking, independent of the help of Allah, I make it happen. That's قَارُون. You've been given so much. I've been given this because of my knowledge. I know that قَارُون, that independent of God, With the help of God, Imam Sajjad, yeah, I take it on. I'll move mountain with the help of Allah. Next one, principle number two. The Imam believed true Islam is absolutely in line with the fitrah of the people. It's not that Islam is a failed experiment. Yes, people made a mistake. People don't want to know Islam nowadays. No, Islam is in line with the true fitrah of the people. I don't know how many of us got a chance to see the little pictures they had of Arbaeen in Mexico. A few of our Shia over there arranged a mosque in Mexico. Arbaeen everywhere. We're winning. It's in line with the fitrah of the people. God, well, this is what God says in the Quran. The Imam believes in this. يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. I have confidence, full confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God can make anything happen. What else? وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I believe in the people. The believers are good. They do want to do the right thing. Muslims are good people. Yes, they need to be educated. Yes, they need to hear what Islam is. Yes, they need to have the right behavior modeled. But Muslims are good people. They want to do the right thing. This religion is not something. Nobody needs to hear about this in 2020. No, everybody needs to hear about this in 2020. Number three, the next principle of the Imam. And by the way, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't be, as mu'mineen who are interacting with society, afraid or intimidated from sharing our truths with the world. That this is something when we're in the masjid, we're brave. No, no, you and I, we're on the front lines, we're interacting with others. And we can let them know what Islam says on various topics. Imam Ridha has given us this promise. Inna nas, truly the people, law alimu mahasina kalamina. If they knew the beauty of our words, latabi'una, the people would follow us. Islam is the best kept secret. It has all the answers. God blessed you as a follower of Ahlul Bayt with this secret. Everybody has a fitrah. We can talk to anybody. Step number three. Step number three is that Imam Sajjad knew God forgives mistakes. God gives second chances. It might be the case somebody's done a huge sin like this, like not going with their imam. Does that mean we get out our big marker, we mark the person's name off, throw the person in the garbage? No, God forgives mistakes. God gives second chances. If we will do our part, God will change our destiny. In that dua that we read after Fajr, one of the lines is just that we say that, oh Allah, if I am shaqi, I'm one of the wretched people, and you've written that fi ummul kitab, right? The protected tablet, it's written, fulan is shaqi. You can change that. So even if somebody's made mistakes, once somebody asked Imam Sajjad, salamu alayhi, they were like, it is so difficult to make it to paradise. I don't know how anybody gets in. The Imam realized this person, they're way out in left field. They have no idea what Islam is. He didn't even answer the question directly. This is what he says. Ana aqul, Imam Sajjad. Ana aqul. Laysa al-ajabu mimman najah kayfa najah. It's not that you should be shocked how anybody is saved. He says, "Wa amma al-ajab." Well, you should be surprised. Mimman halak, kayfa halak? How did anybody not make it? Allah gives so many chances. Allah is so kind, so latif. How could anybody? He says, with the vastness of Allah's mercy, so many options, so many ways to get to God. How does anybody go to hell? Imam Sajjad says, "Remember, I mentioned this yesterday that one of the jobs of the Imam." With Sahifa Sajjadiyya was to motivate us, because it wasn't only book knowledge. He had to reteach us Islam, that's one of the principles, but also give us the motivation. Sometimes somebody's made a big mistake in their lives. They've committed sins. They made mistakes, like literally mistakes. They chose the wrong career. They got married. They did this. They made mistakes. And they look back later and they look at themselves. They're like, yes, I was foolish. You know what some people do? They beat themselves up about the past. I was so stupid. But what we learn is that despite what they say, that you can't unscramble eggs, God can take your scrambled eggs. He can make a wonderful omelet. Doesn't matter your past mistakes, this happened, that happened. Imam Sajjad, how does he teach us? This is Sahifa Sajjadiya. He's giving us that motivation so we can resist. What does he do? He tells us one of the names of Allah. This is how he addresses him, Sahifa Sajjadiya. Ya mubaddila sayyat, O he who changes sins, sayyat, bi'adhafiha min al-hasanat. You make a mistake, God takes your mistake, your sin, you should be getting punished for it. You make tawbah, you try to do your best, God makes your mistake several times over into good deeds. My past doesn't matter to God. I made a mistake. I abandoned my imam. I wasn't the Shia I should have been. Does that mean I write myself off or anybody else off? The imam says, with God, how? So the imam, the third principle, was that the imam knew that God gives second chances. The fourth principle of what gave that imam that power to stand against those kind of enemies. The fourth principle is this. In Islam, brothers and sisters, all you have to do is do your part. God does the rest. I don't have ability, I don't have money, you have God with you. All of us need to hear this, by the way. Imam Khomeini taught us, he says, say that I have God with me. Not Imam Khomeini has God with him. I have God with me. With God's help, you do your part. Lady Maryam in the Quran. Allah wants to do the miracle, to give her the dates. What does he tell Lady Maryam? Shake the tree. That's what you just delivered a child. Okay, 2 weeks. You can shake the tree, don't you? You do your part. If you do your part, God does the rest. Amirul Mu'mineen says, فَلَمَّا رَأَ اللَّهُ صِدْقَنَا. When God saw we were really trying, he saw we were telling the truth. We were fighting, we were resisting, we were pushing, we were pulling. At that stage, أَنزَلَ بِعَدُوِّنَا الْكَابِ. God destroyed our enemies. وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْنَا النَّاسِرِ. God granted us victory. All you have to do is do, you have the Lord of the universe on your side. How can you lose with the Lord of the universe? You do your part. Whatever the challenge is, I'm struggling with such and such addiction. I haven't been able to leave such and such sin. My family is, whatever the challenge, we all have challenges. Do your part, God does the rest. You take one step, God does 10. So the imam, with these four principles, then he would take on this impossible challenge. Question. Have we ever seen this emulated in modern times? Because one time their principles, yes, Imam Sajjad was like that. Alhamdulillah, he was able to be victorious over those kind of enemies. He brought us back from being three people to, at the time of Imam Sadiq, we were ready to do Qiyam. If the Shia hadn't failed, then at the time of Imam Sadiq, it would have been over. He did it. What about us? Can we do it? Yes. Where was that emulated? Where was that modeled? Imam Khomeini. Once the leader was explaining, he said, how was it, I'm using his words now, that Imam Khomeini could move mountains? He could do things that were impossible. How could he do that? There's a couple of principles that you and I, we need to learn from Imam Khomeini. And then we, in our personal lives, in our social lives, in our family lives, when we're trying to be soldiers of the imam, trying to work on our spirituality, lessons that we can learn from this great individual. One of the verses of the Quran that Imam Khomeini used to recite, and this was his mantra. This was what everything Imam Khomeini was about was this verse. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا. I only advise you with one thing.
Surah 34, verse number 46.
أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى. Stand for God, whether it's in twos, whether it's by yourself. إخلاص. إخلاص. Do it for God. What Imam Khomeini used to do was he taught, and the thing is, the beautiful thing about Imam Khomeini was he taught these principles and it became something the people embraced. Even years later, Allah have mercy on Imam Khomeini, he raised him with Ahlul Bayt. He taught us these principles. Don't worry about outward defeat. Do it for God. The results are in God's hands. In Farsi they say, Imam Khomeini, قيام لله شكاس ندرت. You rise up for God. There is no defeat. The results aren't the way I... Well, God's planning. He's doing it. Do your job. Results are in God's hands. Ikhlas. Imam Khomeini's only goal was his taklif. What's my taklif? He would train the brothers. And sometimes they would arrange operations, they would fight, they would do this. Defeat sometimes, Imam. Your job, the rest is easy. Ikhlas. This is, believe me, even for myself, I'm saying it with a lot of harara. I need to hear this. Do your job. That's it. Qiyam lillah shikas nadarat. There's no defeat when you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing about Imam Khomeini was this. He had such tawakkul. He thought so good of God. For Imam Khomeini, nothing was impossible because nothing's impossible for God. He's just, oh, well, I have God though. For you and I, well, Imam Khomeini, how? But there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this, he could do the impossible. He could start a global movement. Take on incredible challenge, east and west at the same time. Imam Khomeini, I have Allah with me. The way the leader says it is Imam Khomeini was sure God had his back. He knew Allah would help him. There's a difference. I can also say that. Do I believe God is going to help me? Believe it. So there was no panic button for Imam Khomeini. His son Ahmad Agha, Sayyid Ahmad Allah, raised him with Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Ahmad Agha came to Imam Khomeini once after he believed these things. A town in Iran called Khorramshahr, that town, it was an important town, comes in, Imam Khomeini, panic now. Tells Imam Khorramshahr has fallen. It's war, these things happen. Allahu Akbar. Make salat, continue. The leader says, right, the belief of Imam Khomeini, he said that in the beginning, this is like 3-4 days into the imposed war, he said, I was in a session, I got pulled aside by some important officials, they're senior military officials, and they explained to Imam Khamenei, they said that we are fighting this war, we're doing our jihad, doing our responsibility, and we have airplanes. We have fighter jets, we have C-130s, fighter. They said, what happens with an airplane is that you've got to keep changing the parts. You change it, right? Every day, 5 days, 6 days, you change these different parts. And we only have parts to change for this many days. After 1 week, this type of plane is gone. After this week, by the end of 30 or 31 days, we have no planes left, not even cargo planes. Imam Khomeini said that they told Imam Khomeini, they said, go tell Imam Khomeini this. He said, truth be told, he said, I panicked a little. 31 days, no plane. The enemy has, how? He says, I went to Imam Khomeini. His men are senior military, airplanes, parts, changed them. After 31 days, no planes. He said, Imam Khomeini said, go back, do your job. Allah will take care of it. So the leader said, he said that, I knew Imam Khomeini wasn't a specialist with war planes, but I knew God had chosen him for a reason. So I went, because of his iman, I told the men, Do your responsibility. Because Imam Khomeini said, nothing's going to happen. Go back to your job. Man kana lillah, kana Allah la. God's on your side. You do your responsibility. And he said, he went back, told the men, those airplanes are still flying now. God is on the side of the mu'mini. So, what happens is, Imam Khomeini, he really believed in the mu'mini. He believed in people like you and us. يؤمن بالله ويؤمن للمؤمنين. We have hadith from Ahlul Bayt, because this, let me share this, because sometimes, brothers and sisters, you and I were expecting to do something. It might be in my personal life, it might be a project I want to do for the community, anything. Mu'mineen, mu'minat, struggling, trying to do their responsibility. And normally for us, we have expectations. Such and such will help. Such and such will provide assistance. This person will do their Islamic responsibility. It's a good project. Or I'm mazloom. This person is zalim. We have expectations from mu'mineen and mu'minat, expecting that they'll do their responsibility. It's not always the case that people do their responsibility. Sometimes you expect such and such, they will come to my assistance, and they don't. What does Amirul Mu'mineen teach us? This is the hadith from the Imam. He says, "Rubba ba'idin aqrabu min qarib." Sometimes somebody outside of your inner circle, some of you have no expectation, this person would help. God's running the show. There's sometimes somebody who is ba'id, somebody who's not your relative, not your inner circle, not your friend. That person comes to your assistance. And he says, well, qariban ab'ad min ba'id. Sometimes the person I expected, my friend, my homie, my buddy, that person doesn't come to my assistance. God, since he's running the show, he brings somebody else. What happens is, even people who sometimes don't expect it from themselves, something else that we should remind ourselves about, brothers and sisters who are trying, who are struggling. Even some of our shuhada, it's true we had shaheeds, shuhada like Ibrahim Hadi, like Qasim Sulaimani, like Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, those legendary. We had other shuhada who were average, regular guys. Even when the battle started, before their shahada, they weren't people who made Salatul Layl, regular guys. The people who knew them, some of them, the guys were so vain, they said, this guy, his hair, tousling his hair back, right? Some, they didn't want to experience any kind of pain. Shuhada. Suddenly, before they went to meet Allah, there will be a transformation. You and I shouldn't write ourselves off. These people were regular guys. Suddenly, they did the responsibility, and then Allah, so we have to remind ourselves of the power of our words. Remind ourselves of God, His help. Like Imam Khomeini, he did that too. Once his son, Ahmad Agha, once he was mentioning the superpowers. Talking to Imam Khomeini, him and Imam Khomeini walking. Imam Khomeini, superpowers are doing this, that, and the other. He starts mentioning them. And then Imam Khomeini noticed he didn't mention Iran. So Imam Khomeini said, you mentioned superpowers, say Iran. And Ahmad Agha was like, oh, it's just the two of us, you know. I mean, yes, one time we're giving slogan, you know, Iran, but, you know, the superpowers. Say Iran. With the help of Allah. Finally, he insisted so much, and Ahmad Agha, Iran. If you say they're superpowers, with the help of God, you and I are also giant killers with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we're told in the ayat of the Quran is you do your responsibility. Right? You do your part, God does His. As Allah says in Surah 64, verse number 16, فَاتَّقُوا mastata'tum. Exercise as much taqwa as you're capable of. You do your wajibat. What about if I've made mistakes? What about if I'm not the ideal Shia, the robo Shia who is like Ibrahim Hadi from, what if I'm not like that? You know what the Quran also teaches us? In the Quran, brothers and sisters, you've noticed how Allah mentions mistakes of Anbiya. He mentions the mistakes of Adam, alayhi salam. Nabi Yunus, he mentions him by name in the Quran. He made a mistake. Nabi Sulaiman made a mistake. And again, we're not talking about Isma, but don't you know the response of these Anbiya? Look at the ayat of the Quran. After the mistake, bold prayers. Instead of them writing themselves off, مُبَدِّلَ السَّيَّاتِ بِأَضْعَافِهَا مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ. After the mistake of Nabi Sulaiman, where God calls him out, then he makes this dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. After his mistake is when he prays for the kingdom that no one else after me will have. Now for you and I, that's a little bit cheeky. I mean, Nabi Musa, you got called out. You made a mistake. We don't know God how Nabi Musa knew God, how Nabi Sulaiman knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, because now our brother will take us to Sham. We'll remember our imam. But we ask that Allah accept what was said and heard in his way, that he make us those soldiers of the imam, that he allow us to defeat his enemies, and that he grant us shahada in his way. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ثانية على حب الزهراء. ثالثة على حب سيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين. اللهم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Peace and blessings be upon you, Prophet of Allah. Peace and blessings be upon you, Ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. Noor Aini, Ya Hussein. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. Ya Rahmatullah Al-Wasi'ah, Ya Hussein. Oh my beloved, Ya Hussein. The light of my eye, Ya Aba Abdullah Al-Hussein. Oh, the vast mercy of Allah. Ya Aba Abdullah. سيدي إن كان لم يجبك بدني عند استغاثتك ولساني عند استنصارك فقد أجابك قلبي وسمعي وبصري لبيك أبا عبد الله لبيك My beloved Hussein, if I cannot be there for you, and my tongue is not able to assist you, then know that my heart and my sight and my hearing, they all cry out, Labbaik, at your service, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Hussein. O the beloved one of Rasulullah, O the flower of Rasulullah's heart and the candle of Amir al-Mu'mineen's house. Brothers and sisters, let us take our hearts out to the caravan of Aba Abdullah. While the caravan was kept captive in Kufa, Yazid ibn Muawiyah sent a letter that the prisoners should be paraded and that he wants to have them in the capital of Dimashq. The narrator says, when the caravan came near, Umm Kulthum approached Shimr. She told him, Ya Shimr, we have a request. He said to her, what is it that you need? This is the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Can you imagine that she has to come up to someone like Shimr? She told him, O Shimr, when you intend to make us enter the city, allow us to enter from a gate where there are less people, and keep the heads of the martyrs away from us. But Shimr the Mal'oon, due to his ill nature, he did the exact opposite. He wanted to provide as much emotional pain as possible to the house of Rasulullah. The heads were placed on top of spears and the prisoners were paraded up until they got towards the main mosque. Then they were confined to their own detention center. An old man would approach the women and the household of Rasulullah, and he would say to them, Praise be to Allah who killed and destroyed you, and relieved the cities from your men, and imposed the order of Amir al-Mu'mineen Yazid on you. Imam al-Husayn told him, O man, have you recited the Quran? He said, Yes. Imam Zainul Abidin said, Did you understand the meaning of this verse? Say, I do not expect from you anything as wage for my prophethood, except love with my close relatives. لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. He told him, I have read that verse. Imam Zainul Abidin told him, We are the qurba. We are the relatives that this verse mentions and addresses. Then he told him, O man, have you recited وَأْتِي ذُو الْقُرْبَ حَقَّا Have you recited وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلْرَسُولُ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَ Have you read إنما يريد الله ليظهر عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. He recited to him all of these verses and he told him, we are the people they are addressing. We are the أهل البيت that Allah has honored and purified. Then the man told him, I ask you by Allah, are you truly those people? Imam Sajjad would say to him, by Allah, I swear by my grandfather that we are those people. He began to weep and he threw his turban on the ground. Then he raised his head towards the sky and said, O Allah, I hate the enemies of Ali Muhammad. Before the caravan entered the palace of Yazid, one man asked the Imam about who was victorious in Karbala. The Imam said to him, if you want to know who was victorious, wait for the time of prayer, then recite the adhan and the iqamah. And when you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulallah, you will know exactly who was victorious after this battle. The narrator states that thereafter the family and the women of Hussein were brought to Yazid bound in ropes. They stood before Yazid in that condition. Ali ibn al-Hussein would say, Ya Yazid, what do you think the Messenger of Allah would do if he were to see us bound by ropes, steered on the backs of saddleless camels? Everyone in the courtyard of Yazid began to cry upon hearing this. Soon after, they placed the head of Aba Abdullah in front of Yazid, and he instructed his men to give him a stick with which he began to poke at the lips of Sayyid al-Shuhada. He began to recite the lines of poetry, rejecting that anything divine was ever revealed to the Prophet. When he said, La'ibat Hashim bil Mulk, Banu Hashim, they just played with sovereignty and authority. And he would also say, Layta Ashyakhi bi Badrin Shahidu, I wish that my forefathers from that battle of Badr, that same battle in which Amir al-Mu'mineen killed his grandfather, he said, I wish they were all here to witness what I have done to this family. When Sayyida Zainab heard this, she stood and delivered her famous sermon in which she exposed the magnitude of Yazid's crimes and the goals of her brother Imam al-Hussein. And among those lines, she said to him courageously, Ya ibn al-Tulaqa, O the son of freedmen, O the son of the one whom my grandfather freed and allowed you guys to enter Islam. Is it justice that you keep your women and maids in modest seclusion and that you steer the daughters of the Messenger of Allah as prisoners on the back of camels? After she delivered her sermon, Imam Zainul Abidin asks Yazid, do you permit me to ascend these pieces of wood? He wouldn't even call them a minbar. Would you allow me to descend these pieces of wood and speak with what may please Allah and be of benefit and reward to those present? At first Yazid refused, knowing exactly that the Imam will expose him and expose his forefathers. But those around him convinced him. They said to him, Ya Yazid, let him speak. After which the Imam began his famous sermon. He said, O people, we have been given 6 and favored in 7. We have been given knowledge, wisdom, forbearance, eloquence, courage, and love in the heart of the believers. We have been favored in that. The chosen prophet of Allah, Muhammad, is from us. The Siddiq Ali ibn Abi Talib is from us. Ja'far al-Tayyar is from us. The Lion of Allah and his messenger Hamza is from us. The leader of all women, Fatima, is from us. And the masters of the youth of paradise are from us. And then he began to tell them, if you do not know me, I will inform you who I am. أنا ابن مكة ومنى, أنا ابن زمزم والصفا. I am the son of Mecca and Mina. I am the son of Zamzam and Safa. I am the son of the one who carried the cornerstone of the Kaaba by the ends of the mantle. I am the son of the one who was taken with the Buraq towards the skies. I am the son of Muhammad al-Mustafa wa Ali al-Murtada. As the Imam continued his sermon, everyone began to cry and began to wail. Yazid quickly called upon the Muezzin, the one who calls for prayer. He told him, quickly call out for prayer. Do not allow Ali ibn al-Husayn to continue. He called out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The Imam would say, that is the testimony of my hair, my skin, my flesh, blood, brain, and bones. Then when he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the Imam turned toward Yazid and he said to him, Ya Yazid, is this Muhammad my grandfather or is he yours? If you claim he is yours, you have surely lied. And if you say he is my grandfather, then why have you killed his progeny? A dialogue would take place between the Imam and Yazid, where the Imam asked Yazid for some requests. Eventually, Yazid told them to go back to Medina. But we all know very well, before they make their way from Syria towards Medina, there is a land they want to visit. There are loved ones they want to reunite with. That land is none other than the land of Karbala. On the day of the Arba'een, it is narrated that Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, along with his servant Atiyah al-Awfi, had come to visit Aba Abdullah's grave. Jabir performed the ghusl in the Euphrates River, and he prepared himself for the visitation of Sayyid al-Shuhada. With every step, he remembered Allah. Jabir was blind at that time, so he told his servant, let me touch the grave of my beloved. When he guided him to touch it, Jabir fell unconscious. And once he woke up, he cried, Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Habibun la yujibu Habibu. Oh my Hussein, can it be that a lover does not answer his beloved? But how can you respond to me, Ya Hussein, with all the wounds that your body had sustained? sin? How can you answer with what vocal cord will you speak to me when they sat on your chest and they severed your neck? Soon after, it seemed like someone was getting closer to the grave of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Jabir asked Atiyah to go see who it is. He told him, if it is the men of Ibn Ziyad, then let us take shelter. But if it is my master Zayn al-Abidin, then I free you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Atiyah went and then came back and said, rise, O Jabir, and welcome the daughters of the Messenger of Allah. My master Ali, the son of Hussein, has arrived with his aunts and his sisters to renew the visitation of Abu Abdullah. Jabir would greet the Imam by throwing himself toward his feet. He would say to him, عظم الله لك الأجر سيدي. My master, may Allah reward you for the loss of your father Hussein. The Imam asked him, is this Jabir? He said to him, yes, I am Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah was a close companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Rasulullah. When the Imam saw him, you can imagine what kind of emotion it felt for the Imam to have someone who was considered a family friend. He told him, Ya Jabir, this is the land where my father was killed. This is the land where my family members were butchered. This is the land where they took our women as captives. In a narration, it is mentioned that when they asked Imam Zayn al-Abidin about what was the greatest struggle for them, he told them that it was Sham, because before that, no woman of Al-Muhammad had ever been taken captives. It remained in the Imam's heart that they took the woman of Al-Muhammad. After the Imam spoke to Jabir, the woman of Al-Muhammad wanted to visit their beloved Sayyida Zainab, and the women go towards Hussein. They begin to mourn and lament Sayyid al-Shuhada wa Husayna wa Habiba. And after the visitation of Sayyid al-Shuhada, it is as if Sayyid Zainab is looking for another grave. Who can it be? Who would Zainab look to visit? Ya Zainab, we say to you, when you left him, his arms were near the Euphrates. His eye and chest were pierced with arrows. Sayyida Zainab wanted to visit her beloved brother Abbas, the protector of Banu Hashim. Where are you, O moon of Banu Hashim? In Dua in Nudba, we say, Ayn al Hasan, Ayn al Hussein? Ayn abna al Hussein? Where is Hasan? Where is Hussein? Where are the blessed children of Hussein? عظم الله لك الأجر يا مولاي. May Allah increase your reward, يا صاحب العصر والزمان. As we recall the tragedies that befell أبا عبد الله.
ألا لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. السلام عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله الحسين، وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, tonight we will also be reciting another Latmiya written by Brother Amal Nashid. Please recite one loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
How long I longed for Karbala to mourn you Bainul Haramain. How long I longed for Karbala to mourn you Bainul Haramain. As soon as I reach you, I'll wail and besiege you, Bainul Haramain. So don't you blame me if I go crazy when Zainab raised me, Sakina train me, Bainul Haramain. As soon as I reach you, I'll wail and besiege you, Bainul Haramain. So don't you blame me if I go crazy when Zainab raised me, Sakina train me, Bainul Haramain. Salar Zainab, Amir Husainam, wa ni'ma al-Amiram, wa ni'ma al-Amiram, wa ni'ma al-Amir. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Leave me with Hussain, 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 Hussain. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Leave me with Hussain, 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 Hussain. daughter of Hussein, Sakina. After you, she is Yatima. Mother of Hussein, Fatima. Watches over this arena. Daughter of Hussein, Sakina. After you, she is Yatima. Mother of Hussein, Fatima. Watches over this arena. And when your neck was struck with the sword, Hussein, Husseina, Fatima shed tears. When your neck was struck with the sword, Hussein, Husseina, Fatima shed tears. And when your head was separated, Hussein, Husseina, and raised from the spears. O Karbala, how did you greet him? O Karbala, how did you greet him? And when he fell, how did you meet him? O Karbala, how did you greet him? And when he fell, how did you meet him? And when Hussein needed the water, Al-Qamir, why won't you feed him? Al-Qamir, why won't you feed him? I'm calling on Taha's grandson. I'm calling on Taha's grandson. I'm falling on my knees and hands. I'm calling up to the one who Adam called walking through your land. Adam called walking through your land. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Bainul Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Bainul Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Bainul Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Bainul Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy. Karbala, Mawla, 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 Mawla. Karbala, Mawla, 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 Mawla. The son of Zahra, 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 Zahra. Martyred, 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 martyred. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Bainul Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Bainul Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Karbala, Mawla, 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 Mawla. The son of Zahra, 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 Zahra. Martyred, 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 martyred. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma kun وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه. في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. I'd like to thank the sisters and brothers for joining us once again, and to all of the wonderful volunteers and Sheikh Osama, Brother Ali, for the wonderful lectures and majalis. Inshallah, we thank you. Inshallah, please keep posted on our events, WhatsApp, chat, and also our social media pages for any future events. And inshallah, we thank you all. If we could all end the program with Allah, salawat ala Muhammad, and a Surah Al-Fatiha on behalf of all the shuhada, all of those who died in the path of Islam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.